Hi, I'm Ray Comfort.
Hang on a minute. I'm Ray Comfort. You're Kirk Cameron. Kirk, tell me a little bit about yourself. Give us your background for those who may not know.
Well, most people will remember me from Growing Pains. I played Mike Seaver on Growing Pains. Some of you might know me as Buck Williams from a movie called Left Behind, based on a best-selling novel by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. And Growing Pains was on the air for about 7 years in production. It's been on for about 18 years in repeats. So most of you will probably remember me as Mike Seaver.
18 years? How old are you?
That makes me sound very old, doesn't it? I'm actually 31 now. I'm an old married man, Ray. I've been married for 12 years and I have 5 kids.
Wow, that's incredible. I've been married for 31 years and I have 3 kids. 3, one of each. Now, tell me a little bit about what it was like to grow up in Hollywood.
Well, wait, before I tell you about Hollywood, tell me a little bit about that funny accent that you have. Where are you from? Is that English? Scottish? What is it?
It's Russian. I'm originally from New Zealand, which is down by Australia. I've been living in Southern California for 14 years. A lot of people think New Zealanders and Australians speak the same. Australians talk more like this, don't they? Their accent's a little bit coarse, for want of a better word. And the New Zealand accent is more English. But it's a nation of 3 million people, 70 million sheep. But they're not sure of the exact amount of sheep because the guy that counts them keeps falling to sleep. But there are a lot of sheep in New Zealand, and it's a very unique country. Very much, it's about the same size as California. Not so many people. Very rich in natural resources and a great place for tourists to go, because when it's winter in the U.S., it's summer in New Zealand, and when it's summer in New Zealand, it's winter in the U.S., so it's a good place to go. But I love the States. I've been an American citizen for many years, and I really appreciate this country we live in. So let's go back to Hollywood and some of your experiences there.
Well, it was pretty exciting. I didn't have a normal, everyday childhood. I grew up in a normal house, but by the time I was 14 years old, I was working on Growing Pains, and I was traveling around the world, being part of one of the most successful television shows in history, and I was hanging out with all the actors and actresses that I had always looked up to, the musicians, and I got to do things I never dreamed of doing. I even had Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. Carl Urban wanted to do a special on me. I don't think he was New Zealand. I think it was English. But I was living a dream at 17 years old, and it was very, very exciting.
And who did you meet? Anyone that's... did you know any celebrities?
It's not quite as exciting for me. But, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was on Growing Pains before he ever did Titanic, and Brad Pitt and Matthew Perry and quite a few other people that you'd know on TV shows now were actually on Growing Pains. And so we like to say that we gave them their start.
Well, this tape is about Christmas, and we'll just talk for a few moments about Christmas and what our own experiences are. So what are your memories of Christmas? Or what do you remember as a child when it comes to Christmas?
I think for me, Christmas is just one of those exciting times of year that you just can't wait. You wish every day was Christmas. I mean, I would remember getting ready for Christmas and counting the days off on the calendar. Would love it because we got out of school for a couple of weeks and would make up the list of what we wanted for Christmas, and I would love to listen to my mom read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas before we went to sleep, and on Christmas Eve, I was always sure that this was going to be the year that I would stay up and see Santa Claus land on the roof. Or if there was no Santa Claus, I would catch my parents red-handed, dressed up in a red suit with a sack of toys on their back. And I never did. I could never find the presents hidden in any closets or under any beds. And so I was just stumped. I thought Santa Claus must be true.
Is this when you're about 18 or 19?
Yeah, this was up till a couple of years ago. But, you know, one of the things I also remember now about Christmas is that I remembered some families used to play some beautiful music in their houses that had something to do with Christmas. Songs like, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let none... And away in a manger. Songs like this about a little baby in a manger and a star leading some wise men to Bethlehem. And I hadn't a clue what that was about because we didn't have a manger in our house. We never talked about Christmas on that level. It was just about opening presents. And I think now of how much significance there is to Christmas that I just never knew about.
Do you remember the Hark the Herald Angels Sing?
Yes.
Do you know the words to that?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I didn't have any idea what that meant.
Yeah. And there's, do you remember the second verse or one of the verses where it says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, born that man no more may die. And I never understood. I became a Christian when I was 22, but for those 22 years, and Christmas to me was just presents. And in New Zealand, we have 6 weeks holiday around Christmas, and it's midsummer, and it's just the beginning of the holidays, and it was a good time. And I remember getting up and opening presents as a little kid, and filled with excitement. But most people celebrate Christmas and don't even realize what it's about, that it's the birth of Christ. Santa Claus seems to have invaded the whole thing, and we've lost sight of what it's about. But as we know, Jesus, from the hymn, was born that man may no more may die. I remember years ago when superglue wasn't as prevalent as it is now, some friends of mine worked in a jewelry store, and they got a coin, I think it was a 50-cent coin, down in New Zealand, and they superglued it to a sidewalk. And they watched out of a window how people reacted when they saw it. And some people would come along and kick the coin and see that it wasn't, you know, sit there and they couldn't get it. They watched one lady come along, and she took off her shoe and began to hit the coin whether she so wanted it. And now that's amazing. A lady would go to so much trouble just to get a coin off a sidewalk. She disappeared, and then a few minutes later she came back with a hammer and a chisel. She chiseled up that coin and went off with half the sidewalk and the coin. Well earned. And it's amazing what people will do for money, but in Christ, the Bible says, God offers us everlasting life. Born that man no more may die. So where are the cues? Where are the lines of people lining up to find out how they can find everlasting life? So that's what we want to talk about just for a few moments. What Christmas is really about. Is it more than presents? Why did Jesus come to this earth? Kurt, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I do. I never understood any of that up until I was about 18 years old when a friend had finally invited me to go to church with them. It wasn't around Christmas time. I think it was in the middle of the summer. It was probably Christmas time in New Zealand. Is that how that works? no, I think I've got it confused.
Yeah, we walk upside down, too.
You have dinner in the morning and breakfast at night. I was the last person in the world you'd ever thought would have stepped into a church. I didn't believe in God. I couldn't stand the thought of being religious. But a friend invited me to go to church, and I went there and heard something that I had never heard before, and that was that the Bible was the Word of God, not just a thick, dusty book full of rules designed to suck the fun out of your life, but actually God's Word to us to describe to us who He is and what His purpose is in creating us. And that's when I first heard about how awesome and powerful and holy and magnificent God is, and how He created us to love Him with all our heart and to obey Him, but that all of us have in our own selfish ways turned away from God and followed our own set of rules and ignored the things that God has commanded for us to do. And that kind of an attitude is called sin, and sin separates us from God, and sin is something so serious in God's eyes that it separates us from Him for all of eternity. And in fact, because God is so good, He will actually punish sin. And then I heard the most beautiful thing and realized that this is what Christmas really was all about, that God is so loving and compassionate that He doesn't want us to suffer the consequences of sin and disobeying God. He wants to forgive us, and so He provided a way for us to be forgiven. And He did that by sending Christ to suffer and die on a cross to take our punishment for us. And then we could be forgiven of our sins if we would repent, which means to turn away from our sin and put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. So that really is the essence of what Christmas is. It was the moment when this wonderful God sent His Son to be born so that He could grow up ultimately to save us, to rescue us from the sin that was going to cause our death for all of eternity.
So that's one thing that really bothered me before I was a Christian, is the fact that I was part of the ultimate statistic, that 10 out of 10 die. And it used to bother me that everything I held dear to me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my friends, my wife, was going to be ripped from my hands by death. And that was my big annoyance about life, that I was like a kid skipping through a field. And there was just flowers everywhere, and I was just so excited, life was so exciting, and then suddenly, splat, I hit this big black wall. And I think, what is this? And I look at the wall, and I step back, and I see the word death written in blood on the wall. And I think, man, there's got to be a way past this. So I looked in the medical profession. And I said, big pile of dead doctors. So I looked to the scientific world and I see a big pile of dead scientists, I see that everyone's dying. There's no way past this great black wall called death. And so I remember one night I looked at my wife who had gone to sleep, and she was soundly asleep, and I just sat on the bed and I wept, and I thought, she's going to die. She could die tomorrow. I could die, and we're gone. It's all over. And from that moment, life became quite futile in a sense, happy though I was. However, about 6 months later, I was on a surfing trip down in New Zealand, and a young guy explained to me, we die because we've sinned against God. You talked about sin before. And I thought, well, I'm basically a good person. And I was, until I looked at the Ten Commandments. And when I looked at those commandments, I thought, man, I thought I was okay until number seven. This hit me. Jesus said, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. And I thought, yep, I'm fine. And then I heard his words, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. I thought, man, if God sees my thought life, I'm in big trouble. Because I hid what I thought about from everybody. No one knew really what I was like.
You know, the commandment that really convicted me was when I began to think of the first commandment and the second commandment, when God said, you shall always put me first in your life, you shall have no other gods before me. And for most of my life, I had ignored God. I had made everything else in my life more important than God. My career, my friends, my reputation, even my dirty, smelly socks were more important to me than God. And I thought, man, if there is a God, that's got to be pretty offensive to him.
You're an atheist?
I was a pretty devout atheist. I would laugh at people who believed in God simply because they couldn't prove him to me. But deep in my heart, I guess I didn't know for sure that there was no God. I just didn't want to deal with it because I was having fun in my life. And the truth is if there's a God, then ultimately we're accountable to him, and it matters how we live our life and what he thinks of it. So I think I just pushed it out of my mind and comforted myself with the thought that it could never be proven.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can not believe in God. When we look at creation, to be a creation, there must be a creator. For things to be made, there must be a maker. But it seems that God has hidden himself from humanity. But the Bible tells us in him we live and move and have our being. And we're like, if we're looking for God, a fish in the ocean saying, where is the ocean? We're in God's presence, every single one of us. But when we're reconciled to him, when we turn from our sins and trust in the Savior, then the ocean comes into us in that respect. God comes and dwells, makes his dwelling in us. So tell me what you understood about the cross. What did the cross make any sense to you, Jesus dying on the cross before you were a Christian?
You know, people had come up to me years earlier trying to talk to me about God, and they had mentioned Jesus, and the cross never made sense to me. I didn't understand. The cross, as far as I was concerned, was just religious jewelry. But what made the cross make sense was the Ten Commandments. When I realized that God saw my thoughts and had seen everything that I had ever done in secret, regardless of the fact that I never believed in him, every time I had lied, I was proving that I was a liar. Every time that I had stolen something, even though I didn't think of it as anything serious, I had taken things as a kid, things I knew didn't belong to me. But God sees petty theft as theft. Adultery of the heart was something that I think every teenage boy has committed. Dishonoring my mother and father, making other things more important than God. You know that Jesus even said that he who hates his brother is a murderer. And when I began to look at that, I saw my need for God's forgiveness. I saw that I was in trouble with God. And then when I heard about the cross, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins, it was like I had broken the law, and then someone else stepped in and paid my fine. And that's the way the Bible says it. It says it like this. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It also says that God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now the cross makes sense.
I had a similar experience. I remember looking at my sins and realizing that, boy, if there was going to be a day of judgment, as the Bible says there's going to be, that I would be condemned and end up in hell. And judgment day makes sense when you think of it logically. For instance, in one 10-year period in the US, from 1990 to the year 2000, there were 200,000 people murdered in the US. 100,000 weren't brought to justice. Well, it should grieve us that anyone could get away with murder and not be brought to justice. Well, how much more does it grieve God when injustice is done? And the Bible says God will punish those murderers, which makes sense. But he's also going to punish rapists and thieves and liars and fornicators and blasphemers and those who have lived contrary to the inner light, the conscience that God has given to every one of us. So if you're a human being, if the blood of Adam dwells in your veins and you've sinned against God, his wrath abides upon you, and you need to repent and trust in the Savior before the day of judgment. And the way to trust in the Savior is to confess and forsake your sins. Just come before God and say, God, I've sinned against you, I've broken your commandments, I need your forgiveness. And God has made provision for us, though he's a God of justice and righteousness and truth. The Bible says he is rich in mercy, and he loves you and has commanded his love toward us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as Kirk was saying, Jesus died on the cross for us, and the Bible says he rose again on the third day and defeated death, and now that great wall, that big black wall that all humanity came up against, has a door. It is a way through. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find green pasture. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth. That means peace with God. Not just peace within your own heart, but peace with your Creator. You and I can have that. And then once we're born again, once we receive that second birth, we receive God's gift of everlasting life, and we understand what the Bible means when it says that Jesus was born, that man no more may die. Kirk, do you have anything to say just as we close?
You know, I think that Christmas is such an incredible opportunity to think about our own hearts before God and to think about what he did for us. I know that there was a time when I would have considered myself to be a very good person too, but I think what I was doing was making the mistake of comparing myself to other people. Compared to other people, I was pretty good. I was a pretty nice guy, a pretty good guy. I did a lot of good things. But the problem is I didn't think about the fact that I wasn't going to be judged by other people when I die. When I die, I'll stand face to face with God, and I'll be judged according to his perfect standard. And that's really where it's at. That's where it's all about. That's the Ten Commandments is God's standard and the mirror that shows us the quality of our heart, the way that God sees it. And it's so critical to look into that mirror so that we can examine our hearts. And if it's filthy dirty with sin, we have the opportunity to go and ask for God's forgiveness and turn away from those sins and wash through faith in Jesus Christ and be forgiven and cleansed.
You know, there are probably people who are listening today who won't be here tomorrow because death may seize upon them. Maybe that's going to happen to you, and this is God speaking to you through us to get right with him before it's too late. You know, every one of us have got this silly attitude of, it will never happen to me. But death is going to happen to every one of us. So don't just think any longer about this issue. Just bow your head and say, God, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. This is the type of prayer you can pray to get right with God. God, I've sinned against you. I've broken your commandments. Please forgive me. Wash me. Make me a new person in Christ. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Thank you, Jesus, you died for me and rose again on the third day. And just say to him, I yield my life to you. I give you my heart. God's not interested in your words. It's just your heart attitude. And then once you've done that, pick up a Bible and read it. Read the Gospel of John. Read the epistles and obey what God says to do. And Jesus said these incredible words, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and will reveal myself to him. So as you obey God, he'll reveal himself to you, not in flashes of lightning or thunderous voices, but just in an intimate way where he will transform you on the inside and make you a brand new person, and you'll have the absolute assurance that you have the gift of everlasting life. Do you want to say anything, or perhaps close in prayer? Okay.
For so many years, I was such a skeptic, and wanting everything to be proven, and wanting to be sure of everything. And if you're feeling that way, listening to this tape, not sure about this, I'd encourage you to go pick up a Bible. The Bible is not a difficult book to read. It's written in everyday English, and you can understand what it means simply by picking it up and having a heart that is willing to be open to the truth of God. Say, God, help me to understand the truth. Show me the truth. Show me who you are. I don't want to believe a lie or some kind of fairy tale. I want to know the truth. And be willing to make a U-turn in your life. Turn away from your sin and turn toward God, and he will show himself to you. Because he loves you, and because if you're seeking him, it's because he's been seeking you. Lord, thank you for Christmas, not just for the fun of getting together with friends and family and all of the presents. But thank you most of all for sending Jesus for each one of us as a Savior to save us from our sin, to make us right with you, and to give us the gift of everlasting life. Please give every man and woman and boy and girl a grateful heart at Christmas time and the courage to admit their sin, to admit their need for Jesus, for that little baby in the manger, and give them the strength to turn from their sin and trust Jesus with all their heart so that they would experience the joy of your forgiveness and then live a life obeying you. Thank you for saving me. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Kirk, we've got a website where people can go to that they can be helped. Is it called 10 Principles for Spiritual Growth? Is that what it's called? We used to call it Save Yourself Some Pain. What do we call it on the website?
10 Steps for Spiritual Growth.
Something
I think that's
like that,
it. But
yeah.
Now, the website you're talking about is Way of the Master. That address is www.wayofthemaster.com. And it's a site where you can learn about God, you can grow in your faith, and even learn how to share your faith in Christ with other people's effectively, but inoffensively.
Yeah, we have free tapes there you can listen to so you can grow as a Christian. But if you've made a commitment to Christ today, go to that site, wayofthemaster.com, and click on the 10 principles or something for Christian growth, and you'll find that those principles will help you grow. And we just, both Kirk and I, want to thank you sincerely for taking the time to listen to this tape.
God bless you.